You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So, Pastor Mark Brzee was here last Sunday, you all remember, and we had a good time, and he said something, and he kept saying it over and over again, and every time he said it, it just was like, And then Marty, Pastor Marty was here. I call him Pastor Marty because he was on staff at Rhema as associate pastor. But Reverend Marty Blackwater, he used the same expression. And so I want to talk to you today about the DNA of CWOL. I want to talk to you about the DNA of CWOL. And so Pastor Mark gave off four things, but as I was ministering, and those are the four things that I could articulate, and we will talk about them: the Word, the Spirit or the glory of God, the nations, and prayer. And I would add this: fellowship and serving one another. Those are the six main things of our church that I would say make us up, give us our DNA. So what is the DNA of CWOL? So I looked up a definition of DNA. Y'all know what DNA is, right? You know what your DNA is. You know, we talk about every one of us, our DNA. But I love this definition. Listen to this. The fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities, the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone or something, especially when regarded as unchangeable. Especially regarded, it's DNA when it's unchangeable. In other words, we all look at, you know, we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, that's DNA. You know, I have there, no, you know, like in our house, you know, it's the Rentschler, because my wife's maiden name is Rentschler, it's the Rentschler nose. And there's a certain quality and characteristic about it. And, or I think Rhonda also has, we call the Rentschler toe. You know, there's a certain, there's the, what about you? I don't know. And so I can say some things. But anyway, it's what makes you up. So what are the unchanging qualities and characteristics? Now, church today in the United States is very interesting. There's a lot of different ways you can have church, do church, and you know, but you go to CWOL, you go to Cornerstone Word of Life Church. So what'll help you, because see, a lot of times when you get into things and we just say, well, why is it that way? Why do you do it that way? You know, and it's like, you know, with your children, they ask why, you should just shut up and do it. You know, I don't want to talk about why. But I think with adults that sometimes you have to tell them not only the what, but you have to tell them the why. And so I want you to know the what and the why of Cornerstone Word of Life Church. When I started this church 25 years ago over in, it's not the same building, in the storefront, which is now Austin's Furniture, in the side part where nobody knew we were, nobody came, nobody, you know, but I still, it was the dream that God put in my heart. I can guarantee you the DNA 25 years ago is still the DNA 25 years later. Because the word hasn't changed, what God dealt with me has not changed, how we do things has definitely changed. You know, the lipstick is different today, if you know what I mean. I mean, we had none of this, and we have none. We had none of you, and so you know everything. You know, we didn't have all this. We didn't have all the bells and the whistles and stuff. But the DNA is still the same. And so, if you know the DNA, then you can cooperate with the DNA. And if you can know why the DNA, why we do what we do, then you can believe with us and understand. And I'm not, you know, whether we're a unique church or we're like everybody else, it doesn't matter. What I know is we have to do what we're called to do. And so when we do what we're called to do, we're a success. And we're adding our supply to the body of Christ in this area, in North Alabama and the Southeast and the United States and also the world. And so when you know, because the Bible talks about how he set members yours in particular. And so God set you here. And so sometimes you may come a while, and sometimes I see it in membership class. I see the light bulb come on of like, oh, that's why I'm here. Because I didn't know. If you're here and you've been here a long time, you have the Bible says every joint has a supply. So every body part has a function, and you have a supply. You're not here just to get something. You're here to give something. And not only give something here, but then give something to the body of Christ at large and give something back to our communities. And so why do we do what we do? So let me read the definition again. A fundamental and distinctive characteristic or quality of someone or something, especially when it is regarded as unchangeable. And so first, let's look at the word, because that is the first thing of the six things I want to talk to you quickly about today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses, I want to tell you the what? First chapter 3 verses 15 through 17, it says this, and that from a child when thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the Holy Scripture is able to make thee what? Wise or understanding unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is not a book to us. This is inspiration given by God that's been put together in a book. And it's profitable for doctrine. So how many of you know the Word of God, the first thing you need to understand is what I give you is doctrine. And doctrine mostly comes from Romans to Revelation because we're in the new covenant. And you need good doctrine. And you need it on a regular basis. All preaching is not doctrine. Some preaching is encouragement. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the first thing it lists is you must have doctrine. In order to make it, you must have doctrine. And doctrine establishes you. In other words, the Bible said doctrine is really, in some ways, milk. It's your foundation. We teach something called foundational doctrines in our Bible Institute class, and it talks about going on to other things. But you can't go on to the deep things of God unless you hear doctrine or have a knowledge of doctrine on a regular basis. And because it talks about babes and it talks about strong meat. Listen, babies don't get a lot of doctrine on a regular basis. They get just encouragement. Come on, come on, baby. You can make it. Are you all right? I don't want this to be too simple today, but I want to tell you what and why. And the other thing about doctrine is in the last days. How many of y'all believe we're living in the last days? The Bible says, especially in the last days, there'll be lots of winds of doctrine. People will have itching ears. What does that mean? Well, I only want to hear what I want to hear. And so itching ears and winds of doctrine, the only way you know if something, what's a wind of doctrine? The wind of doctrine is when the devil takes something and pushes it to an extreme. And you can do that with almost, you can do that with any doctrine. And so how do you know if something's a wind of doctrine? How do you know if something's the truth? How do you know if something's a lie? Well, how many of you know the devil has been lying to the church from the beginning? If you look at Adam and Eve, even though that wasn't the church, from the very, very beginning, he said, did God say? How many of you know you've got to know what God did say? Because if you don't know what God said, the devil's going to lie to you morning, noon, and night. How do you change that? Have good doctrine. So our goal to you at Cornerstone Word of Life Church is not just to get you part of the truth. It's to get you the full counsel of the Word of God. In other words, good doctrine. Why? You need good doctrine to live a successful life. Amen? So let's go on. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Should I spend as much time on that one? For correction? What is in the middle of this? For instruction, let's just skip those two. Let's just skip them, because everybody else does today. Because everybody else does today. Because I don't want to go anywhere where I have to hear, don't take that down. I don't want to hear any reproof. I just need you to tell me how I'm going to make it. I don't need any correction because I'm fine. The rest of the world's a little messed up, but I'm fine. How many of you know if y'all don't, this is Cornerstone, y'all. Y'all don't get, one half of these four is what you and I, well, but listen, let's go into Hebrews. He said, if he doesn't correct us, I'll do it this way. If he doesn't correct us, it proves he doesn't love us. Because you only correct your sons. Everybody else, do whatever you want to do. But as for me, I'm going to correct mine because I love mine. Because I want, don't you love everybody? Well, I do. I love you all. That's why I correct you. Hallelujah. And correction is not stop this, don't do that. You're an idiot. Put down the fork, fatso. That's not correction. That's cruelty. Yes. Correction is just speaking the truth and letting things adjust. Amen? You don't have to try. You know, I don't have to stand up here and try and correct you. If you preach the word, it will adjust you. It will reprove you. Amen? Why do we want to hear the truth? Because we all need to adjust. We all need to correct. You kidding me? When I stand up here all the time, when sometimes you think when I'm silent, I'm happy. It's like, oh, wow, really? Oh, you just got to smile. Hallelujah. Because while I'm talking to you, sometimes he's like, yeah, and you need to fix that. And you need to do that. I got to hurry up. But can you see that being a word-based church is, we've got to have all of that. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. It thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work. Amen. If we hear it and do something with it, the Bible says it's the word of God that helps us transform our thinking. The word, so every time the word's coming forth, it's transforming. I'm going through metamorphosis in my soul. It's a light for me. How many of you want to make it to the next destination of your life? What do you need? Well, you need the word. And the word is not always frothy. Sometimes the word, it's always a lamp. It's always the light. But how many of you know that if you're going down a wrong road, you would like a danger, Will Robinson? Oh, yeah, some of you don't know. Danger, stop. Go the other way. How many of you know it's just nice if somebody knows the bridge is out that they tell you? The Holy Ghost from the Word. But you see, if you don't have any Word, he has nothing to work with. So how many of you know, so as I minister the word, what's it doing? It's transforming. It's renewing. Not only are you doing it, but just hearing it also does some transformation. It's a light. It's the light of your path. And if you continue in my word, Jesus said what in John 8? He said, if you continue in my word, you'll be what? He said, you'll be my disciples indeed. And he also said, you'll be free. And if you know the truth will do what? It'll make you free and it'll keep you free. Amen. So what do you need on a regular basis? You need the truth. Amen. You need the truth. And so in order to do that, you need good doctrine. You and I need to be corrected. You and I need to be reproved. And we need instruction for righteousness. And all that is a 4, 6, 10-hour series. But I got to move on. Because I'm only on leg number one. Hallelujah. Leg number two is this. We want to see the Spirit of God in how many, are you grateful he lives on the inside of you? But we have always believed and contended for, I don't know if you were here, I don't know what I just said it. When this church started, I remember the first service, I had mostly people come over in the storefront. There were people from Tulsa came, from Illinois. And so we were starting the church. Me and Paul and Dana and Joshua were there. That was the four of us that were here, living here. And other people came. So like nine other people came. And then finally, if you've ever been in a membership class, I said a mama and her two girls came. And they never came back, ever came back, ever. And so... So here we were, but right before all this happened, because it was so supernatural that the way the Lord led me down here, I was expecting 100 people, prepared for 100 people, had chairs for 100 people, we were just ready because it was supernatural. And so when nobody came and it looked like nobody was coming, Mama B, that's Judy Joe, y'all know Judy Joe, that's her mama, took me to the back. She got me in this little room, and she said, "Now dance. Let us rejoice." I feel like no rejoicing today. I moved all the way down here. Nobody came. Nobody's coming. Dear God, what have I done? I said, "Let's dance. Let's rejoice." So she exhorted me into the fire of the Holy Ghost. We laughed. We danced. And we've been laughing and dancing ever since. Amen? But what is that? Contending for a move of the Spirit. One of the things the Lord came down, told me when I came down here was, it's not just a church, it's a move of God. And so we have always contended for a move of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4. Suddenly, I'm ready for a suddenly. Y'all ready for a suddenly? They were all in unity and one accord. What? And they were praying and believing God. They were following the instruction. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And cloven tongues of fire came and set on. I pray the Lord come sit on you. I pray the Lord come sit on you. And when his glory comes, sits on you, you're going to change. I'm going to check. We had some sitting this last week. I mean, the Lord came in this room, and every service doesn't have to be running around the room. Every service doesn't have to be laughing and dancing. But when the Spirit of God wants to dance, we should dance with him. It's just rude when he asks you to dance. You say, "No, thank you." Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's liberty." We want him in manifestation. I want him to manifest himself through his gifts. I want him to manifest. He's the rain. He's the wind. He's the fire. I want him in manifestation. Yes, he lives in me. Yes, I can speak in tongues privately. Yes, I can do all that privately. And you know, Pastor, we don't not scare anybody. But I guess God is God, and Jesus is the head of the church. And he ever asked the Holy Ghost to do something, then if we really know the Holy Ghost, it'll all work decently and in order, and it'll be right. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Very concerned in the hour we live in that people come to church and there's no liberty. There's no freedom. There's no freedom from bondage. Because Isaiah 10:27 says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. But the anointing is the person of the Holy Ghost. And if you tell the person the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you don't want him around except at your special occasions. He can be grieved. He can be grieved. Last time I looked, this church belonged to Jesus. And also that means that if I know the Holy Ghost, I'll respond to Jesus, the head of the church. And the Holy Ghost loves to manifest himself. And so we want that. Number three, the third part of our DNA is we're a praying church. Now, maybe some of you don't see this as often. We have Sunday night prayer groups that you can all be a part of. We pray every Wednesday at noon. I've been leading it some. We have special meetings called On the Wall. And Pastor Rhonda and I are going away to pray. It's just a huge part of my life. There are times in my life where I would rather pray than preach. I would rather pray than preach. Now, see, if all you think prayer is the prayer of faith, you know, that's just a small portion. It's an important portion, but it's a small portion of prayer. One of the things that the church has to watch right now, and it's a part of the leg, one of the DNA of our church, is a praying church. And what I'm talking about is corporate prayer. I know a lot of people like to be private today, and even sometimes in Word of Faith circles, well, I don't want anyone praying for me that doesn't know how to pray in faith, but you know, I don't believe that messes me up in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's what I believe and it's what I say. But I have seen as a church that when we get together corporately to pray, things change. Why? Because there's power, exponential power, when people come to the prayer of agreement. And a lot of that happens in corporate prayer. And so there's all kinds of things I could talk about, but I want you just to look at these. I'm going to give you scriptures. You write them down. You look at them later. But the early church, the book of Acts, the early church, they prayed often. And the Bible says in Acts 1:14, they continued in prayer. Everybody say continued. Acts 6:4 says they were continually in prayer. Everybody say continually. Acts 12:5 said they prayed without ceasing. That's a whole lot of praying. And so as the days approach or when things are going on, we ought to be a praying church. We ought to be a praying church, not just a church that knows how to get our individual needs met, but a church that comes together and prays together. And so I would encourage you, we do it every Sunday night. We have all kinds of prayer groups. We do it at other times. We have on-the-wall prayer Wednesday at noon. We have people that do it. They take their lunch hour. They show up at 12. Sometimes they have to leave early. It's fine. But we believe in praying. Their attitude during prayer in the early church in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says they were in one accord, or they were in unity. Acts 2:42 said they were steadfast. Acts 4:32 said they were in one heart and one mind. So in order to be, as prayer is a part of our DNA, we need to be in one accord. We need to be in unity. We need to be steadfast about it. We need to be continual about it. And then what happens? I remember when I was... when the church was really small, the Lord was dealing with me about church growth. No, I think I was pleading for him about church growth. I think that's the real account. Lord, why are we not growing? There's nobody here. You sent me down here supernaturally. You know, there's 5, there's 10, 15 people at the most. What's going on? And so he took me on a quest. And as he began to take me on this quest, he said to me, "You're going to teach this message all over the world." And I found it amusing. Because I can't get anyone to come here. How could I go anywhere in the world? I really found him amusing. And I really kind of like, you know, I understand, what's her name? Sarah? When God said, I did it. Because I kind of like, I didn't laugh at his face. That's kind of like an insight. Really? And he still used me anyway, right? Aren't you glad you don't have to be perfect? And so he said to me, go in the book of Acts and trace the growth of the church. He said, every time the church grew, trace what happened. So I'm teaching that in my prayer class in Bible Institute right now. I'm not going to get into all of it. But if you take everything from the day of Pentecost, when the church multiplied, when multitudes added to the church daily, individually, when the jailer, Paul and Silas, got saved, not just multitudes, but even individuals. You trace it back, so there's church growth. You trace it back one step, it's always miracles, signs, and wonders. Always, in the book of Acts. Then you trace it back one more, the power of God has showed up on the scene, which produced the signs, wonders, and miracles, which produced increase in the church. Then you trace it from the power, you can always, not occasionally, not one time, every time, trace it back to corporate prayer. I thought it was the preaching of the word. Nope, it started every time in corporate prayer. There was preaching and teaching of the word, but it came out of corporate prayer. They prayed. They preached. Peter got up and preached. The power was there. Signs and wonders, power, and then people were born again every time. So that's why it's a leg of this church. That's why it's part of the DNA of this church. That's what the Lord taught me. And interestingly enough, I have taught this all over the world. I teach it to pastors. And this is what I say. I'm not opposed to programs. I'm not opposed. You obviously know we're not opposed to t-shirts around here. Wesley makes one for everything we do. And so, and the last one was cool. And I'm so grateful that our old logo is now cool again. Because I was told one time it wasn't cool anymore. And Wesley says it's cool. And Wesley knows cool. All right. So, anyway. So for me, when I saw that, I am confident to stand before the Lord saying, this is what your word says, this is what we do. And I'm very comfortable with it. But you know, today, a lot of people don't like to get together to pray, but it's a part of the DNA of this church. And if you don't know how to corporately pray, if you'll just make yourself available to it and just learn, it will change your life. It will change your life. The fourth thing that I'm not going to spend any time on very much is nations. You look around the walls and you see the nations that we support. I think it's bumped up. There's three or four more on there. We're going to take remedy of that very soon. But we believe in supporting nations. Why? Because Mark 16:18 says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say go into all of Madison and all of Huntsville and all of Madison County only. He said go into all the world. And so I took him serious. I've taken him serious about that since the day I met him. He said to go into all the world. We say it like this. If you farmed 100 acres, if you owned 100 acres, and if all you ever farmed was the acre right around your house, the other 99, well, it's too far. No, I believe we can walk and chew gum at the same time around here. So we are locally minded. We do evangelism. We do lots of things. I think we do it all. Amen. Because I believe you can do it all. Well, don't you have to specialize? We specialize in following the Holy Ghost, and we supporting them. We take teams. We do all that. But I believe in ministering to the nations. But something that Pastor Mark didn't mention that is a big part of our DNA is serving one another. I believe the body of Christ needs, this is something that's always been a huge part of our church. It's a huge part of our church today, is we need to serve one another. If you know the DNA of something, if you know what it's made up and why, then you can understand. I believe that serving one another is so important. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be a servant of all. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. He said, if you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to serve one another. And then he showed us, remember in John's gospel, when he washed our feet? You know, that right there, because in that culture, remember, feet were the dirtiest thing. And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And he said, well, then you don't have any part with me. And then Peter said, what? Well, just give me a bath, right? And so the truth of the matter is when you serve one another, you are acting like Jesus. And you are walking in love to one another. And the thing that everybody needs to see, not only in the body of Christ, but in the outside looking in, is they need to see us serving one another. They need to see us loving one another. Why would you take care of a baby when you don't have any babies? Because I want to serve somebody. Why would you clean a church when they can hire it? Because I want to serve somebody. Why would you park somebody? Aren't the lines good enough? Because I want to serve somebody. Why would you ush? What is an usher anyway? I don't know, but I want to do it. Hallelujah. I want to serve somebody. Why would I come extra every time in a week to practice singing? Why can't we just throw it together? Because I really want to serve you in a good way. Amen. Why do I do all these things? Because I want to serve you. Because Jesus served. Because Jesus. And so it's not a demand. It's an opportunity. Because everyone in this room has grace to serve. Because you have a function that God gave you. And your function, in order to find the greatest and the highest you are, you're going to find that in serving. And besides that, one day you're going to stand in front of the Lord and he's going to ask you, did you do what I asked you to do? And I guarantee you, it involved you doing something in the body of Christ while you were on the earth. Well, I just thought that was for preachers. Well, then you thought wrong. Because everybody has to stand before the Lord and everybody has to give an account for what they've done. And part of it, I guarantee you, is there is somewhere for you to serve in the body and outside of the body. In the body, because see, if you're a kidney, be the best kidney you can be. But you're a part of a body, so you ought to be serving the body. If you're a finger, be the best finger. Well, I'm just a little toe. Well, we need you. Have you ever had your little toe hurt? How many of you know that you want it to be fine? Every one of you are important in the body of Christ, so that's why serving is so important. And then the last one, we've spent a lot of time on this 2 years ago, but fellowship, koinonia. Koinonia. And I'd be real honest, when this this was a huge part of our church when we first started. I mean, we used to every Sunday night, back when Sunday night services were popular and everybody used to come, almost every Sunday night we were eating together, bringing in their food, hanging out after church, just doing all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, we over the years we've done so many different things. And when the church is really small, you can do that. But then in the A-frame, when we began to outgrow the space, there just wasn't room to do it. And honestly, even up until now, we haven't had the space. But thank God, in January, one of the things we're going to do with that building is we'll be able to get back to some things that we used to do, because fellowship and the connect groups, that came out of a time Pastor Rhonda and I were praying when I was asking the Lord to deal with this, and he took me to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Acts chapter 40. In a time of prayer, he took me to this, and it began to instruct me. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine and fellowship, which is koinonia, breaking of bread, probably the Lord's table, and in prayers. So that was their four things they were doing. They were having doctrine, they were having koinonia or fellowship, they were partaking of the Lord's table. Also, some people say, because it's going later, that was talking about them eating together. I don't care which one it is, but and then in prayer. So there's lots of things going on here, but the koinonia, the fellowship, was very important. How many of you know, whether you think it or not, the Bible, we need one another. You need me, I need you, but also you need one another. You need one another. You need to be able, so close to one another, that you can do what the Bible says, as we're supposed to gather more in church. But I believe also that's gather more in fellowship as the day approaches. Why? Because we need to, how many of you know that if you don't know somebody, you shouldn't try to provoke them unto good works? Because all you're going to do is provoke them in our modern verbiage. I mean, you know, provoking someone, you need to do this. I don't even like it when my wife tells me I need to do something. You need to take out the trash. Is that a question? Anyway, so if you've been through my marriage counseling, you know that one. All right, so was that a question? Anyway, so the other thing, but you can't be that way with somebody you don't know. And we're supposed to be provoking one another unto good works. How can you provoke someone is if you really know them. How do you get to know someone? Sitting in church together for an hour and a half? No. All you know is if they change their hairstyle, or if it's a guy, if they're losing hair, gaining hair, or going gray. That's all you know, or what they wore. You can't get to know somebody that way. You need to serve with them. You need to fellowship with them. Why? Because the Lord says it's important for the last days so that we can provoke one another unto good works. Well, me and my wife are fine together. We don't really need anybody. Well, maybe somebody else needs you. We're self-contained. I like being alone. I'm a loner. I'm a lone wolf. I felt a howl coming on. I'll keep it to myself. But that's not what the Bible says. How many know Ecclesiastes says, woe to him. Well, Pastor Mark, I've tried. Well, you know what? Keep trying. Get in there and fellowship. Go to a connect group. Serve with somebody. Get to know somebody. Greet somebody. Tell somebody, hello, my name is. Whatever. Keep working at it. I get it. I'm naturally speaking a shy person. I don't like to be in social settings. So, how can you get up and preach? This is the anointing. How can you be on TV? This is the anointing. It's not, but you know what I've had to learn is to work through it, especially when I don't feel like it. And the same thing for you. You are not an island unto yourself. You cannot make it alone. You need some. Well, I'm not alone. I have God. Yeah, but he said to fellowship. He said, we need one another. He puts you part of a body. That'd be like you saying, I'm the heart. And then you're out here jumping out here all by yourself, apart from a body. We'd call that strange and weird and scary. Amen. Little head bouncing around all by itself. We call that a horror movie. Right? We need you. You need us, and you need one another. Amen. And not just when you're in trouble. But the Bible does say, woe to a man who's alone when he falls down. Amen? Two are better than one. Two are better than one. And that's not just, so talking about your natural family. We're a family, and we need one another. So I encourage you, anytime there's an opportunity, there is so much opportunity for fellowship now at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. We have the connect groups. We have women's ministry. We have men's ministry. Children's ministry, the youth ministry, junior high and senior high, the young adults college, the young adults. they're just the young adults now. All those, they not only meet with the word, they also fellowship. We have Marriage Matters that meets every other month. With that new building coming, probably do quarterly things with married couples. We have this, we have that. Within the serving groups, sometimes they get together and fellowship. I mean, you connect yourself. Be a part of. Even if you don't think you need it, somebody needs you because you're just that special. I said, somebody needs you. Amen? Well, I like to walk my dog by myself. Well, connect with somebody. Maybe your dog needs a friend. Amen? I had all kind of pictures just running through my brain right then. You know how they all smell one another. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't tell us as people? We don't, like, anyway, never mind. Lord Jesus, Rhonda needs to be in here. Help me. I need to go pray. Those are the six things. That is the DNA of Corners. Are there other things? Yeah. But those are the six really DNA markers of this church and why they're so important and what they mean to us. We're a church of the Word. We're a church of the Holy Spirit. We're a church of prayer. We're a church of the nations. We're a church that believes in serving one another. We're a church of fellowship. And so those are the six markers of our DNA. And there are other things. And does it make us better or different? That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in obeying God and being who He's made us to be. Because, well, that's who he's made you to be. But if he's called you along to help us, then that's who he's made you to be. You have a part in that. And you may have an emphasis in one part of that or another, but if you understand, okay, that's what this church is. There's something there that I need to be a part of. There's something there that I need to give. You know, that's real important. Amen? Amen. So that's the DNA of CWOL.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to CWOL.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.